From the gorgeous confines of Melbourne, Australia, across the USA and 61 countries spanning the globe, Expat Progressive Radio presents The Bill Show with Bill and Randall. Now fasten your seatbelts, kids, because here are the loudest fat lefties on the net, Bill and Randy.
And welcome to the Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen. It's 156.
Yeah, it is.
We're very
show
happy.
Number 156.
Say hello. This is my best friend in Radio Land. Certainly one of just absolutely brilliant. I love this fella, Randall.
Who Berger. Walked in? Who walked in? Oh, me. No, oh, me. It's
in.
Me.
Yes,
hi.
You.
Hi. You're back.
Hi.
Yeah,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. People don't realize that we're 150 kilometers away from each other, but it sounds like we're in the same room.
It does. But actually, I have no idea who you are.
Yeah. What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
Just my Speedos and a 90.
Nah. Well, I'm actually in my jammies.
Yeah, well, that's good. They're the teddy bear ones that I gave you.
I always get your hand-me-down clothes.
I know. They're Dr. Denton's too. Yeah. They're lovely. Remember when I put mashed potato in your Dr. Denton's, Randy?
Is that what that was? Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
So those people understand what Dr. Denton's are, then you are old. Anyway, enough of this chit chat. We've had.
Oh, I thought you said.
Another,
I thought you said chit. Yeah.
Shit chat. That's what we do here.
Yeah. What a week! What a week it's been!
What a week! What a week! It just gets crazy. You know, I'm sick of, because I was listening to the last few shows and it's always like, it's been a crazy week, Randall. But no shit.
Yeah. No,
it's been a really fucking crazy
no
week.
No shit, Sherlock.
So let's first of all check in with. Well, you know him, you love him. And evidently, a lot of people can't live without him. It's time again for Psycho Trump.
Now it's time for the next episode of Psycho Trump.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Yes, it's Psycho Trump, Andy.
Yeah.
And we do have the Bernard Herrmann music
in
the background.
Yeah, you scare me. You scare me whenever you play that.
I know. You should be scared. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, it's been a fantastic week for Trump, but this was the annual Trump Mexican vacation week. That's right. Like Chevy Chase in a combi van down the border, come Mexico way, Donald spread the fun as he actually visited a foreign
the one,
power
yeah,
and told them to build
it was like
the
that movie, The One Amigo.
Oh, my God. We are the One Amigo, man.
But, you know, the ridiculous thing is he...
Brains? I don't need no stinking brains.
he left the press on the tarmac in Phoenix. So there was nobody to cover it. There was no American flag behind him. It was just a tragedy.
It was shocking. And you know, this is the process, Randy, is before we get into the trip itself, the process basically was, is there's a new guys in town trying to remake Trump, and they were talking for about a week about softening him, which really bothered me in a totally unnecessarily sex referenced thing. Yes, it's Donald Trump, the softening.
No.
Yes, thank you very much. Try the veal. I'm here all week. And I am 12 years old. But basically what happened with that was they tried to remake Trump. And I thought of myself, and that's a good idea for a television series. And you know, here at The Bill Show, we want to present our new television series that is going to be on Bill Show Vision next fall. It is called The $6 Million Trump.
No.
Here's a preview.
Throttle. Circuit breakers in. We presidential candidate.
A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic
douchebag
better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster.
When do we beat Mexico at the border? They're laughing at us, at our stupidity. And now they're beating us economically. They are not our friend. And these aren't the best and the finest. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best.
Yes, Randy, we're doing that show this fall on
Dilshow
Vision.
Yeah, BYB,
yeah. BYB, that's right. We're getting lots of
subscribers. The young jerks, or the, yeah.
Yeah, the old jerks. The old jerks. So basically, the take didn't work. They went down to Mexico and he was the bionic, you know, the bionic Trump, the softening. And then he went back to Arizona. He went to Phoenix, Arizona, Randy. And you know what Donald did?
He just pissed everybody off again.
That's right. He pissed everybody off again.
Well, see,
he
already pissed off the press. Now, I would think that nobody, I mean, Mitt Romney should have learned that lesson. And anybody who watched the West Wing knows you don't piss off the press bus. And,
yes,
and what did he do?
That's
he
right.
left them on the tarmac and wouldn't even. And
yeah,
they said, and he wouldn't even let them charter a plane or nothing. He didn't want them. He didn't want them in Mexico. And I'm thinking, that's just wrong.
That is just so wrong, you know. And you're sitting there watching Donald Trump, and you know, they managed to train him like a fucking seal. I think it was John Stewart or somebody who said, he, watching Donald Trump read from a teleprompter is like watching a seal do laundry. You know, because he was out there in front of the podium, and I was all these people from Trump are sitting there, oh, look, we made our monkeys stand behind a desk. You know, and he's not, we're shrieking. And then he was sitting there, and I swear to God, Randy, did you see the speech that he gave?
No, I couldn't watch I couldn't watch it. I couldn't watch any of that.
Well, no, it was like he was on lithium. I swear
God. But like Tom Hanks said.
They did a Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and they slipped something
like
in his
Tom Hanks said, "There's the one job I don't want is the Donald Trump teleprompter job. Because... nobody lasts more than one speech because he doesn't stay on script.
Yeah.
He's always off.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. And thank God for that. And we'll get back. We'll get to that later. So here's an example of the Jekyll and Hyde Trump that we've come to love. You're actually going to hear the speech that he did in Mexico, and then a bit of the fun Trump, because we don't want James Brown to lose the best act in show business, which of course he is Donald Trump. Here it is.
It is a great honor to be invited by you, Mr. President. A great, great honor. Thank you. We had a very substantive, direct, and constructive exchange of ideas over quite a period of time. I was straightforward in presenting my views about the impacts of current trade and immigration policies on the United States. As you know, I love the United States very much.
We will build a great wall along the southern border. And Mexico will pay for the wall. On day one, we will begin working on an impenetrable, physical, tall, powerful, beautiful southern border wall. I am going to create a new special deportation task force focused on identifying and quickly removing the most dangerous criminal illegal immigrants in America who have evaded justice, just like Hillary Clinton has evaded justice, okay?
Randall, that is fucking, no, but Randall, that is fucking scary.
It is.
That's separated from 4 hours. First of all, we got Muggsy on lithium, who's doing his best, you know, Henry Kissinger impression.
I love America. I love America. I took my elocution lessons from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I know, but he sounds like he's doped up. And then 5 hours, the drugs wore off. And then he's sitting there going, oh, fucking hell.
I am going to build a big, high wall.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Here it comes. I am going to build a big wall. It's like you remember the old horror movies where the ventriloquist dummy is evil and he takes over the ventriloquist.
And he can't decide
who he is. You know, when it's like, there's evil Donald and Donald on morphine.
your Jekyll and Hyde metaphor is terrific. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, it goes along with it. And by the way, we did have a chance to. We have a thing at the Bill Show. It's our immediate Donald Trump German translator. We're going to feed that speech, and this is exactly what we got back when we put it into the translator.
Neueste nationale Nachrichten. Wer hat euch eigentlich das Hirn frittiert, ihr Würstchen?
Ihr dämlichen Hackbraten von der NPD!
Was ist nur aus meiner Bewegung geworden? Intellektuelle Kleingärtner, notgeile Steinsböcke! Wenn ich könnte, würde ich euch alle zur Adoption freigeben, ihr Einzeller!
Yes, Randall, that's the entire speech.
Yes, well, that reminded me of, reminded me of Gene Wilder and the producers. Made me sad.
Yeah, it does remind you.
But then it also reminded me of that scene from The Bunker or whatever it is. Everybody always redoes the subtitles. And there's one on Trump and there's one on... Oh, everything you can find, somebody's done, and it's free for everybody on the internet to take and redo the subtitles.
Absolutely,
and some of them are absolutely hilarious.
But you know, the thing is that I've come to the conclusion after listening to the German translator here at our lovely Bill Show Studios, is the evil dummy. For the ventriloquist, it's Hitler. Hitler's
it's not just that. I think the evil dummy is actually smarter than Donald Trump.
I think that's a possibility. Listen, I'd like to...
You shouldn't compare Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler.
No.
Because there's some things that even Adolf Hitler wouldn't do.
We don't want to go there, do we, Randy? Well, the killer of 10 million.
No, it's actually closer to 12 million.
Yeah, I'm going to change the subject immediately. Randy, what we did have here is the New York Times also came upon an eighth page draft script obtained by the New York Times. Shows 12 questions that Bishop Wayne T. Jackson, the pastor, intends to ask Trump in a taped question and answer session, as well as the responses Mr. Trump is being advised to give. So what happened this week, Randy, is that Donald Trump was invited to a Christian church, and not only did he get the questions, his staff wrote what he was supposed to say.
In advance.
In advance.
Well, then who the hell cares?
That's right. You know, for the monkey to learn. Yes. Hey, Donald, learn this. So,
But, you know, I reckon he's like that. You know, the thing that they did to in that movie about the newsreader, and you could put just about anything on the digiprompt. And he'd read it, and he wouldn't realize until he was halfway through the speech that he was being self-deprecating and stuff like that. I reckon they should do that to Trump.
That's right. They should. Yeah. They should. Hey, listen. Would you like to hear some of the questions and answers that he used to give?
I would.
Would you like
I really
to hear
would
the script? Okay, here it is.
Because I'd be actually interested in something that Donald Trump didn't say.
Yeah, that we missed. It's like, did you take a shit when I wasn't here? To questions, I'll read this. It's from the New York Times. To a question submitted by Bishop Jackson about whether his campaign is racist, the script suggests that Mr. Trump avoid repeating the word racist. Yeah, that's a no-go. Red flag for that, Donald. And instead, speak about improving education, getting people off welfare and back to work. The proof, as they say, will be in the pudding, Mr. Trump was advised to say. Coming to a community is meaningless unless we offer an alternative to the horrible progressive agenda that has perpetuated the permanent underclass in America. Yes, it's the progressives to blame for the poor. Now, this is a good one. Are you a Christian and do you believe in the Bible as an inspired word of God? Well, this is the bullshit that they came up with for, you know, Hitler's stepchild. This is it. As I went through my life, things got busy with business. But you know something? My family kept me grounded to the truth and the word of God. I treasure the relationship with my family, and through them, I have a strong faith enriched by an ever wonderful God.
I like God.
It's a wonderful God.
God likes me. God likes me. I like God. God likes me.
It's a wonderful God. You know, I like to say to God, I saw the...
I got words. They're the scriptures.
You are first class. You're wonderful.
You know what would be really hilarious?
What?
As if he dropped the cards.
What?
And they got all the answers mixed up.
Yeah.
So when somebody said, Donald, are you a Christian and do you believe in the Bible?
Yes.
Well, I think it's a responsibility of the progressives.
You know, or somebody slips, if somebody gets some index cards, write recipes. And just slip them to Trump. So, dear Mr. Trump, do you believe in God? 2 eggs, some flour, bread, a 6-pack of condoms. You know, just get a recipe. The monkey will read any shit you tell him to.
That would be a really funny scene.
That is a great thing.
Wasn't there a Monty Python sketch or somebody's sketch where the questions and the answers were all, or was it a Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, where the questions and the answers were always one in advance?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
it was hilarious.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
It's one of the classic comedy routines. Yeah,
I have to change the subject real quick because we're having too much fun. You know something? I wanted to before we went to the Hillary Clinton side of things. I did want to talk a little bit more about a fellow named Stephen Bannon. Now, we talked about him on the last show. Stephen Bannon is a lonely man. He's the former proprietor of Breitbart. The guy who's basically known as probably one of the sleaziest journalists in the world is also, as I understand, possibly available girls. So, ladies and gentlemen,
My goodness.
That's right. Now it's time for the Stephen Bannon dating game. And here's the music.
Yeah.
Ah, here we are, Andy.
And behind Dornan.
This little thing is called Your Dream Date, Stephen Bannon Girls. This is from Politico. Stephen Bannon, the combative chairman of the right-wing website Breitbart News until he took a leave of absence last month to be CEO of Donald Trump's presidential campaign, has been accused of making inappropriate and sexually charged comments describing subordinates with words like cunt. Former Breitbart editor...
But that's a term of endearment in some areas,
But we're not in England. Okay. Former Breitbart editor-in-charge Ben Shapiro called his ex-boss a nasty man known for verbally abusing supposed friends and threatening enemies. Kurt Bardella, who acted as Breitbart's spokesman until he resigned in protest this year, told Politico Bannon operated as the dictator of Breitbart. In interviews, a dozen former Bannon employees and associates agreed with those scathing assessments of the man Trump has turned to oversee his campaign. Painting a picture, girls, this could be you and Stephen. Painting a picture of a boss who repeatedly used inappropriate language in front of his employees, in many cases, directed explicit expletive-laced tirades at them. At Breitbart, the former employee said he would regularly order subordinates to write stories that supported his allies and tore down adversaries, such as conservative radio host Glenn Beck, and admonished them when their posts didn't toe his line. Several ex-staffers also described leaving the website's orbit as a nerve-wracking ordeal. Indentured servitude in limbo, one former employee alleged in a legal filing, due in part to what they saw as Bannon's attempts to sabotage their future employment prospects because he's an evil, malicious, spiteful cunt. So, while many of the former employees said they did not know Bannon was charged with domestic violence, girls...
Well, that's not a very exclusive club.
Yeah, was charged with domestic violence against his ex-wife 20 years ago. So he was basically charged with domestic violence against his wife. They did mention the rumors of previous gender discrimination and sexual harassment accusations, girls, he's available, that have been since unearthed by other news organizations. And this is what a former staff member went. And girls, I'm sure you're looking for, if you've seen a picture of Stephen Bannon, he's irresistible. What a lovely little boy. And basically, the former staffer who worked with Bannon said this. He said, "He's an evil genius," is how I would put it.
Oh, it sounds like that guy from the Austin Powers movies, you know?
Yes. I know. I'd like to see all of you in my room. So, all right, what's this about Trump? He'd have to be a little gay. All right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time again for our second segment, Hillary the Inevitable. Here it is.
Now it's time for another episode of Hillary the Inevitable.
So you get into the general election if you're the nominee for your party.
I will be the nominee for my party, Chris. That is already done, in effect.
Hillary Clinton spent last night fundraising for a third day in the upscale beach towns of the Hamptons in New York. The final stop was a star-studded affair. According to pool reports, Hillary Clinton danced with Sir Paul McCartney while Jimmy Buffett played Cheeseburger in Paradise at his home. The night reportedly ended with the former Beatle, Buffett, and Jon Bon Jovi singing Hey Jude. But while that was happening, there was more news about her use of private email. The State Department revealed yesterday it has found as many as 30 additional emails from her server that may be related to the Benghazi attacks. Those emails came from the cache of 15,000 the FBI had to recover forensically, but some could be duplicates. Later today, the FBI may release their report that they handed over to the Justice Department, not recommending charges against Clinton, which could include agent notes. And last night, Donald Trump did not miss the opportunity to go after Clinton's credibility.
The only way to learn the full depth of her public corruption is to read the 33,000 emails that she deleted. They're gone. She bleached, which somebody said they never even heard of, in a very expensive fashion, used chemical so that nobody will ever be able to see him. Who does this? Who does this? Now today, another 30 emails were discovered by the State Department that Hillary Clinton failed to turn over. These were emails about Benghazi. It just never ends with the Clintons.
Well, I think, Donald, the kettle is very black.
That's true.
We got to find out how corrupt, if you really want to find out how corrupt she is, you got to read 30,000 emails.
That's right. I know that. But listen to me when I tell you that she started out with a 10-point lead. It's down to 5. The Fox News poll, it is Fox News, says it's 2. She hasn't given a press conference in 277 days.
Where, yeah, I know. I don't get that.
Where the fuck is Hillary? That's, it's starting to piss me off, you know, this whole thing, because A, if you, and I'm serious about this, if you've got shit in the closet, but first of all, we told you, didn't we, Randy? We told them.
Yeah.
We said the emails were going to blow up. We said that this was going to be a problem during the campaign. Now, I don't think Hillary's going to lose. But you know what? These fuckers show up to vote. And unless you get out there and start giving people a reason to fucking vote for you, this guy, don't underestimate Roger Ailes. That's what I'm saying, is that don't underestimate these fuckers, because they're...
Yeah.
And yeah, Randy, your
take. It only needs 500 votes.
Yeah.
Remember Florida.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, remember Florida. Fucking hell. You know, these fuckers play to win. And right now, we've been blessed by the fact that he is a chimpanzee on a bike. But, you know, my point is, Randy, and see if you agree with me, my point is that she should be leading by 10 points. She should be fucking killing this guy. He is the equivalent of a... He's the candidatorial equivalent to the crazy person who sits next to you on public fucking transport.
But the thing is, Billy,
yes.
he can... Every day he does a 47% of them aren't going to vote for me kind of gaffe. Every day.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
And that's that killed Mitt Romney. You can't kill this guy.
Look.
He's a zombie.
Right now they're playing the swing state. Yeah, that's right. He is a zombie. But the thing is right now they're playing the swing state tango. And what it comes down to, again, is Florida and Ohio. Now, thank God, she's ahead in Florida by only single digits.
Mm.
You know? Now, there are 15 ways she could play the Electoral College thing, but we didn't want that. We don't want you to just to play to win, Hillary. You've got to fucking decimate this fucker. You've got to bury him under the fucking soil and saw his fucking ashes. You have a chance to take back the Senate and the House here. You know what I'm saying, Randy?
Yeah, and she doesn't even care. I mean, the Senate and the House is the real battle. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I know. And that, the thing is, they're vulnerable now because this guy is toxic. He is an insane maniac. If he gets elected, it's not just the end of America. Trust me, this guy and all you liberals that sit there and go, oh, no, you know, he'll be controlled. No. We've been following this guy. Mm. I've been following this guy since the beginning of his campaign. We do a show every two weeks. He's fucking nuts.
He is.
He's fucking nuts. And you don't mess with nuts. So, Hillary, stop fucking dancing with fucking Jimmy Buffett.
And Paul McCartney. Shit.
Go ahead.
Yeah, get out there.
Get out there. You should be tearing this asshole a new one every fucking day. And to that point, ladies and gentlemen, just so that we can remember something, I want you guys to remember this. I spent some time at my computer, and I want to present my new segment. This is it, Randy. It's called...
I'm listening.
The Twilight Zone.
Mmm. Is that where Hillary's gone? Oh.
Submitted for your approval, an alternative universe. In this universe, Bernie Sanders was the nominee of the Democratic Party. What would his stump speech be like? Well, here in the Twilight Zone, we'd hear this. Bernie Sanders, the Democratic nominee for President of the United States, recorded in Seattle yesterday.
Thank you. And you know, there are
the many thousands of people watching this outside who couldn't get in. I want to start off in a way that I usually don't. I just want to, we were flying here from Vancouver, and where we had a whole lot of people out there as well. And I was reading on the internet, listen to this, this is interesting. This is what change is about. The state of Utah is one of the most conservative states in this country. They have not voted for a Democrat for president in 50 years. A poll just came out. Bernie Sanders is beating Donald Trump in Utah. Ahead in Utah by 11 points. If we're ahead in Utah by 11 points, not going to be many states in this country that we can't win. And the reason for that is that the American people are never, ever going to elect a president who insults Mexicans, who insults Muslims, who insults women, who insults African Americans. Let's not forget that a few years ago, Trump was one of the leaders of the so-called Bertha movement, which was an attempt to delegitimize the presidency of Barack Obama. American people are not going to elect someone to be president who insults our veterans. And most importantly, what the American people understand is that we are strong when we come together. That when black and white and Latino and Asian American and Native American stand together, when gay and straight and men and women stand together, that will always trump divisiveness and tearing us apart. And the American people understand that togetherness, helping each other, supporting each other, will always trump selfishness. And perhaps most importantly, the American people know what every religion on earth, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, has taught us. And that is that love always trumps hatred. And we don't allow the Trumps of the world to divide us up. There is nothing we cannot accomplish.
Yeah, Hillary, I hope you're enjoying dancing to Jimmy Buffett. Oh, by the way, Bernie was ahead by 11 points in Utah during that time, in that fiction, yeah. You're losing Utah by 20.
Yeah.
I checked today. You're losing Utah to 20. Now, while she's up there and fucking God knows with Paul McCartney, Bernie would be out there every fucking minute of the day tearing this asshole a new one. He would be fucking galvanizing these people to get excited to get out off their asses and vote. Because I don't give a shit what the people, the polls say. The Republicans will come out. And right now, you are putting people to sleep. Your take, Randy.
Yeah, and they're coming out in Ohio, which won for Bush the first time, and they're going to come out in Florida, which won for Bush the second time.
That's right.
The Republicans are going to play the religious card. They're going to play the electoral college card. Yeah.
Yeah, and now we got these fucking emails coming out, so that you have the New York Times writing an article. The New York Times. They love you.
Yeah.
They fucking adore you. They're writing critical articles about you now. I don't give a shit what this email shit is. Clean it up. Mm. Do it right fucking now.
Yeah.
You know, but am I saying hide shit? Yeah, hide it. Hide it well, because you're the only thing standing up between us and the fucking end of the world.
Yeah.
Shit. Oh, fucking
hell. Get out there, Hillary. Give a press conference.
Yeah, grow a fucking backbone. Jesus Christ. All right, that's my thing. I've gone way long as usual. But
you have. But
we'll be back in a moment, ladies and gentlemen, after this bit of comedy and Randy's rant.
Oh, I'm ranting today. Okay.
In your
Bye.
Face, all over the place. We're online 24/7. 24/7. You're listening to the hottest internet station.
And then you got Donald Trump. Now, every time I've recorded a special, the other specials I've recorded in America have been in New York, San Francisco, and Boston. And everyone's called me a fucking pussy with my liberal agenda. Well, I'm in fucking Nashville right now. And if you want to shoot me, now's the perfect time. There's 8 cameras on me. I think we're good. I think we're good. Isn't it sad that the country's gotten to the stage that when you buy theatre tickets, you go, oh, get ones on the aisle so we can run. Everyone wanted to get in the middle. We're like, no, you're sitting ducks in the middle. So anyway, Donald Trump. Now, don't get me wrong. He's a lot of fun. There's a little bit of me. There's a little bit of me that when that thinks, fuck it, let's do it. Let's do it and see how fucking crazy shit can get. Because what happens is he says really simple shit that means nothing, and then fucking dummies, right? If you've ever said this sentence, I like him because he's a straight talker, you're as dumb as shit. Just because someone says something simple that you understand doesn't mean they're a straight talker. You can say complex thing and be telling the truth. But because he goes, I'm going to make America great again. And you're like, I got every word in that sentence. He's like, I'm going to build a wall. I have a wall at home. You're a straight talker. And then he just says shit that it won't happen. Got to build a wall. Mexico's going to pay for it. Who? Well, I haven't heard a Mexican yet go, oh, yeah, we got this. What are you talking about? What the fuck are you talking about? That's just saying shit. He's like a kid running for class president who's just walking around going, and we're going to have two lunches. There's gonna be a soda machine in every classroom. Nashville football rolls! But here's where it doesn't get fun. And that's all, it's good fun. But here's where it's not fun, right? What he does is he preys on fear. As soon as at the beginning it was, Mexicans, they're coming over and they're raping. And then, There was a terrorist attack, and he went, oh, fuck, I'll go after the Muslims. Oh, we should kill the families of Muslims, which, by the way, you're not allowed to do. And then he started saying, after the Paris attacks, we should put every Muslim on a register, and we shouldn't let any more refugees come in from Syria. And the Muslims that live here on a register, that means Izzy's win. As soon as he says that, Izzy's a fucking won. Right, because their plan to shoot people in Paris, that's not their end plan. They didn't kill 128 people and go, well, that's that done. You know what I mean? It's a recruitment tool. And the recruitment tool can only work if hate is bred. Right, so what he does is he says, oh, we're going to ban them. We're not going to let any more in the country. And the ones here have to be on a register. Now, you're a 16-year-old boy or girl that's a Muslim living in this country. You've lived your entire life in this country. You've always considered yourself American. And then all of a sudden, someone who could be your president says, you are not welcome here and that you should be put on a register. Now that kid, how fucking quickly do you think that kid could be radicalized now? Before, it wasn't gonna be radicalized at all. So what he's trying to do is, he's trying to defeat hate with hate. And hate doesn't beat hate. It's never fucking beaten hate. It just makes more hate. Now, this might be the most hippie thing that ever comes out of my mouth. But it's true. The only thing that can beat hate is love. Now, love doesn't always beat hate. Right? It doesn't always beat hate, but it does do something, right? Now, think about your own personal life. Think about a person who hates you and you hate them. From now on, just show that person nothing but love. Now, I'm not saying for a second that that person will start loving you. They'll probably still fucking hate you. But one thing will happen. Eventually, everyone will see them as the asshole. Don't be the asshole, America. Don't be the asshole.
It's time to keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because it's time again for Randy's Rant.
Hey, Randy, yeah. It's Ranty time. What do you got for us, mate?
Billy, it gets me bumping and grinding. You know,
Really? In your Dr. Denton's?
Yeah, I put Velcro in all the seams, and I just rip,
in your jammies.
Rip them out between the legs and swing them around my head. Yeah, I just imagine myself in...
Val is over there in Great Falls. She's getting all hot and bothered, Randy.
You know, it's like me and the whole Blobbingdale lineup.
You're a disgusting person.
Well, that's the power of radio. It's the theater of the mind.
It is the theater of the mind. What do you got for us, my friend?
This is a topic that a lot of people in America are really upset about, but I don't think they have a fucking clue as to what it's about.
Oh.
We're talking, of course, about Colin Kaepernick, who is a player, star player number 7 for the San Francisco 49ers. Yes. And it was suddenly noticed that he was sitting out the national anthem.
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, yes and no. I mean, I was in high school during the Vietnam War, and a lot of kids sat out the Pledge of Allegiance, I think it's stupid.
But I think it's stupid that people are making a big thing of it, because it's freedom of speech, mate. He can do what he wants.
Deal. They're making a big deal about it. Deport him, shoot him,
Jesus
put him in jail, all that sort of stuff. Anyway, play the clip. I've got a little clip here from one of the news programs, which I think outlines it quite well. Play that clip, and then I'll explain the situation.
Sure thing. Here it is on Randy's Rant.
Some 49ers fans took to burning jerseys today after confirmation that 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick refused to stand during the national anthem last night in Santa Clara. All preseason long, he has chosen to sit during the anthem. Now, here's a photo taken during the national anthem. This picture was taken by Jennifer Lee Chan with Niner Nation. You can see Cap on the sidelines sitting during the anthem. Now, in an interview with NFL Media, Kaepernick said, "I am not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color." He went on to say, "To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder." In a statement, the NFL officials said players are encouraged but not required to stand during the playing of the national anthem.
Yeah, well, he's bloody well right about that, Randy. You know?
Number seven.
Yeah.
He's a man of color. He's a wonderful, wonderful footy player.
Yeah,
a real
player,
star.
Yeah.
Yeah, a football player, a gridiron.
Yep.
And the thing is this has brought this right to the front page, right to the headlines, and I've got to hand it to him.
Well, that's it.
What he's saying is there is a legacy of slavery and abuse of people of color for 300 years. It goes back 300 years. And with all the things that have happened in the last year, people getting killed in the streets in Missouri and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And what he said was, is the Star Spangled Banner actually epitomizes all of this and the flag.
Yeah.
Now, let me just explain something that a lot of Americans might not know. The Star Spangled Banner is, they think it was a poem written by a guy during the War of 1812, during the siege of Baltimore, there was a very tall flagpole in the fort in Maryland, and the British said, "If we can shoot that down in the morning, then you have to surrender, or we won't release the prisoners." They were doing a prison exchange. He was a lawyer, and he was negotiating the prison exchange.
So this is the historical context of basically the
historical context
Banner.
Of his poem, "The Star Spangled Banner." Is it still flying? Yes, it's still flying. So we haven't lost. And apparently people were holding it up, even as they were dying, were holding that flag up. You know, makes Iwo Jima look like a staged stunt, which it was. Anyway, so this is going on. He wrote this 4-stanza poem.
Yeah.
It was set to music later. Mm-hmm. But we only ever sing, or the Americans only ever sing, the first stanza. "Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?" You know, is it so proudly? Is it still flying?
Yeah,
yes, it is.
We
haven't lost the war. But as it goes on, in fact, the third stanza, which is the one that has come out to be the one that epitomizes the treatment of black people.
Oh, really?
Talks about slavery.
Oh my God!
And,
really?
Yeah. And the hirelings, the hirelings, meaning the workers, you know. And the reason he put that stanza in is he was pissed off that the British had freed a lot of slaves, because the British were, of course, anti-slavery.
Yeah.
They got rid of slavery long before the
United
States.
Americans, yeah, of course.
Yeah, and a lot of the black people were fighting on the side of the British.
Oh.
So these black brigades were leaving a nasty taste in this lawyer poet's mouth.
So the
the third stanza, when I'll just read it to you.
Yeah, read it to me.
And where is that band who so vauntingly swore that the havoc of war and the battle's confusion, a home and a country should leave us no more? Their blood has washed out their foul footsteps' pollution. No refugee could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave, and the star-spangled banner in triumph thus wave, or the land of the free and the home of the brave. So what it's saying is...
No slave will escape death?
Yeah.
That's what it says!
And the hireling, you know, the people that are... The hirelings or the allies of the British.
Oh, my God. So, I never knew that.
So, anyway, Snopes has even come out and said, yes, it is racist. The legacy of black slavery is enshrined
in the these lesser-known stanzas
in the Star-Spangled Banner. So, I'm just saying that people should look beyond the blatant, what they see as... traitorism and all that sort of stuff.
Well, no, that's bullshit. It's just bullshit.
Yeah. It's a statement. Serious, he's made a statement. It's a legitimate statement. And, I realize now. It's
and
an
by
incredibly...
the way, Randall, you know what? I find it strange, and I'm just going to share something with you from the Bill Show vault here. I find it strange that they find him sitting down not as offensive as this. Yeah, that's the sound of Eric Gardner being killed on a New York street.
Yeah, for selling odd cigarettes.
But
in front of
heaven forbid that some football player wants to draw attention to this fucking horse shit should not stand during your fucking national anthem, which also has a racist undertone to it. And it, by the way, it's my national anthem. I love it, but it does have a racist undertone.
But it's like the One Nation Under God, which was introduced in 1956.
That's right.
And everybody's saying it's been there since the beginning.
Yes.
And America the Beautiful, which was written by a Democrat lesbian. You know, and they never tell you about that.
Yes.
They just have to tell you that that's our national song.
Well, no,
and we
that's
have to be
it.
Really
it's just such bullshit, really. I find it totally offensive.
It's jingoism. You know that word, jingoism?
It is.
This is jingoism.
But, you know, black people in America have a fucking right to be pissed off. And anyone who sits there and says that issue pales in comparison to someone not getting off a bench. No. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But the thing is he is a person of note.
Mm.
And I do think there are some great people who put themselves out there, take an issue, and in essence sacrifice themselves
to
make sure
man.
that issue gets heard. And he has. And the comments, Snopes has been very fair in that they've put a lot of quotes. You know, I didn't know this, the third... verse of the national anthem literally celebrates the death of slaves. No one was aware that the national anthem literally celebrates the murder of African Americans. He was actually a slave owner. Francis Scott Keyes. He was a
that's an
lawyer.
Ironic observation, but I think that I know.
Well,
it's just irony.
So was George Washington and Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, absolutely.
The point is that...
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you do.
No. I'm just saying is that I think you're absolutely right, and I thank you for showing us the third verse of the Star-Spangled Banner. I never knew that.
Well, it's not just that. The whole thing about... you know, it's all sacrosanct. It's our religion.
No,
you know, nationalism is our religion, American religion.
Well, you know,
and the Star Spangled Banner is one of our greatest hymns. Yes, the story behind the fact that it flew all night.
Yeah.
Even though it had the flagstaff shot out from under it, it had holes shot in it.
Yeah.
Everything like that. The British did everything they could to get that flag to fall down.
Yeah.
So the story behind that, the Battle of Fort McHenry. is actually quite amazing. But the fact that this guy was a slave owner, he wrote a stanza about the death of blacks, and that just comes out as being symbolic of all of this sacrificing the rest of America and our pride. Mm. Same with the red. It's not just the black, it's the red. Mm. This whole thing that's going on in North Dakota.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just embarrassing.
Boy.
It's embarrassing.
It is quite embarrassing. Now, do you have anything else for your rant today?
Yes, I do. I do. Well, I always like to put in a little bit about our a religious extremist of the week.
Oh, good.
Because my rants used to be about, or my tinfoil hats used to be, you know, all about religion. Now I've just given it its own little segment. So here's a friend of the show, which we haven't actually heard from in quite some time.
Okay.
So if you'd like to play my religious extremist of the week,
okay.
I'm sure everybody will remember Pastor Useby Day.
Here it is, Randy's religious extremist of the week, only here on Randy's Rant.
I have to tell you, in my travels, I've never known anybody as racist as sodomites. But let me say something about this, this particular, I'll put this down, it's so graphic and gross. One thing about faggots, they like black men because black men are reputed to have large penises.
Right.
And they like those large penises reaming them out. Now, I know those words are ugly, and I could have told you to hide the children, but they're after the children. And let me say this to you. Young children need to know this. You need to share this with five-year-olds that are being told that sodomites are wonderful people. Mm-hmm. Little Hamite or black children, 4 and 5 and 6 years old, need to be told, this is what sodomites think about you. Do you want to be one? But the one thing that I can guarantee you, these white or Japheth faggots love black men and their black penises. And everybody knows it. That's why they moved up into Harlem looking for black meat.
That's right.
So, and I guess they like the black lips too, because the black lips can cover more space in much shorter time if you're going the other route. So, you know, black people have been sexual objects of weird, wicked, perverse Japheth people for years. So now, when you start throwing stuff like this at me and talking about the children with their large lips and their large penises, I'm going to fight back.
Amen.
And every Hamite worldwide ought to slap a faggot.
Amen.
Every Hamite, and they come arrest me for it too. Come on and arrest me. Yeah, I said it. Every Hamite worldwide ought to slap the first faggot you see, both a Hamite and Japheth faggot, for talking about our children like this, for talking about our church and saying that you're going to burn Bibles and you're going to burn the Bible and fly the fag flag, the fag flag, the rainbow fag flag. You're going to fly that and burn the Bible. Every Hamite ought to slap a fag, the first one you saw, or a lesbo, slap him. Now come arrest me for it. Come on! Come on and arrest me! I want to go to jail for standing up. Slap the first faggot you see for saying this about the burning Bibles and flying the rainbow flag over the Outlaw World Missionary Church, and little black children got big lips and black men have big penises.
Yes, your applause, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pastor Manny.
He's the hardest working man in show business.
Yeah, we've missed you.
I see the audience loves Pastor Manny.
Yeah,
he's working up new material.
they're going to blind. They want the black meat and a flame coming out of their asses. Yeah. I really missed him. I really missed him.
When he sat there and said, you know, you should tell your five-year-old children about the
big black penises. Yeah.
Oh, my God. And the reason, Pastor Manny, this is a real guy. I'm not shitting you. Seriously.
No.
Your
friend Alan loves him.
Oh, he's our receptionist here at the Bill Show Studios.
Yeah, they do a joint broadcast every week. Alan, what's his name? Alan, not Jones. Yeah,
Alan Jones. Oh,
yeah,
Alex Jones.
Yeah. Alex Jones. You're Alex Jones. They do a show every week.
Oh, well, I have something. Together. Trust me, I have something for you that you're going to plot over.
Really?
I do. Yeah. Listen, we should get going. We're on an hour.
Well, let me just have a really quick...
I
did promise you an update.
Yes, tell me.
On the Dakota Pipeline.
Yeah, what's
this
going
is getting
on?
Bigger and bigger and bigger.
Really?
As of September the 4th.
Yeah.
It's turned violent. They've brought
shit.
In private security, dogs, pepper spray, barbed wire. It's really, really, really looking nasty. Now, this is just as much a legitimate protest as any black rights protest, but these people are desecrating the land of these people that they fought for.
Well, there was a
for
court,
a long
there was
time
a court
and was
case.
Given to them.
There
yeah.
was a court case, Randy. What happened with the court case?
Well, they filed court papers that found several sites of significant and cultural historic value.
No, but they filed an injunction in the courts. What happened in that?
But I think it got thrown out. So the court documents that were only recently allowed to survey the private land north of the Sioux Reservation.
Yeah.
And researchers found burial rocks, piles of cairns, and other historic significance to Native Americans.
Yes, I know that, but what did the courts say?
Money talks.
What did the courts say?
Money talks and bullshit walks.
Yeah, but what did the courts say?
Nothing. It's been allowed to go.
Oh, great.
The Dallas-based Energy Transfer Partners have been allowed to proceed with the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Great.
And that's that.
That's good. Fantastic. Wonderful,
I mean,
because, you know, what we
jobs,
need is...
Jobs.
We need more
billion
fracking.
Dollars.
That's what we need, folks.
On.
Fossil fuels
well, no,
and fracking.
No,
good.
No. This is already fracked.
Yeah, fuck.
This
yeah,
is just transporting 600,000 barrels a day.
Across the Missouri and Mississippi rivers.
And the Mississippi rivers. Yep, that's it. Yeah, this it's turned nasty.
Jesus Christ.
People were bit by these dogs. People were pepper sprayed and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, God.
A lot of people are joining the protest.
Yes.
From non-Native American groups. So I think it's going to get nastier.
Oh God. All right, well that's
okay.
That's sad. I fuck it. Anyway, yeah. Listen, we are going to try to cheer up with a comedy break after that.
Yeah, let's have a comedy break.
Taking the pin. Let's go to comedy break, and then, of course, we have our tinfoil hats for show 156, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, I have some tweets here. These are real tweets. These were made by various parties, including...
All right, I'll sit up for this.
...your friend, Donald Trump. So if you don't mind, I'll hand you each one and just read them aloud. It'll be painless if you just go through them, and there you go. All right. Mitt Romney, read
it. Real Donald Trump. Mitt Romney had his chance and blew it. Lindsey Graham ran for president, got zero capitalized, and quit. Why are they now spokesmen against me? Sad. Got zero. The only people I know who got zero are the ones who paid 25 grand to be at Trump University. They're the ones that got zero.
All right. This is from a Trump supporter.
Okay. Donald Trump is trying to pull America back from the brink, and freaking Mitt Romney is playing with matches in the bathroom.
Is there any truth to that?
I'm not touching that, I'll tell you.
Okay, all right.
Okay. At Mitt Romney equals loser. That's true, actually. I lost. You may not have noticed. Let's see. Who are you anyway? And by the way, where do you buy the shoe polish you wear in your hair? At Trump 2016. I buy it at Costco in bulk. Let's see. I actually met Mitt Romney in a bank a couple of months back. I'm now working on a time machine to go back and punch him in the throat. Hashtag Trump. Yeah, pick or it didn't happen.
Okay. One more.
All right, one more. Well, that's a handle. At Cheddar Biscuit. I'd pay good money to watch Mitt Romney crying in a ball pit at a Chuck E. Cheese.
How much?
Yeah, how much? That's the right question.
One?
Something tells me that Cheddar Biscuit may have had personal experience doing something like that himself. So.
Yes, folks, it's that time again. Time to discuss the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment tonight.
Yes, it's time again for tinfoil hats, Randy.
Yeah, I'm excited. Think there's enough aluminium foil in the world to protect me from the ones I've got this week.
And by the way, Mitt Romney was almost funny.
But the thing was, is when you've got nothing to lose, when you have no more fucks to give, yeah, he says, yeah, I lost. You might not have noticed.
Well, you know, it's really, after spending the entire year with Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, I kind of like him now.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, come on.
Me too. Yeah.
But go ahead. Your tinfoil hat. What do you got for us?
Okay, my tinfoil hat. Well, as you know, one of the very first things that our good friend Donald Trump did when he started to run for president was alienate the entire Latino population of the United States.
Good man.
By saying they were all rapists and murderers and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But believe it or not, now I'm sounding like Ripley.
Yes.
Believe it or not, there's actually a Latinos for Trump group. No, big. It was big.
Really?
It was big. Yeah. They had a whole group called Latinos for Trump.
How many do they have in the group now?
I don't know. But
they won't have enough to masturbate.
He had an entire panel.
Yeah.
But in the last week, four of them have resigned.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why.
But one of them, a Senor Guterres.
Senor Guterres.
Marco Guterres.
Marco Guterres.
He was the co-founder of Latinos for Trump.
Yes.
He was on MSNBC Live, and he had something to say which has become the catch cry of the Trump campaign, at least for the week. Now, you might have remembered, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Yes.
Which was from FDR in the 1933 campaign.
Yes, I know.
But Herbert Hoover, who he was up against, ran on the platform, "We're going to put a chicken in every pot."
Right.
So food has been used in the past, as a bit of a hook in election.
Yes, Randy, yes.
Get that anyway, Senor Guterres used food in a different way. So play the clip, Bill.
Play the clip, Bill.
Needs of the many outweighs the needs of the few, and different times, different problems. Yes, indeed, there's a lot of people. My colleague here would not be here, but we need to understand that this is a different time, and we're having problems here. We need to reform.
What problems are you talking about?
My culture is a very dominant culture. And it's imposing and it's causing problems. If you don't do something about it, you're going to have taco trucks every corner.
Yes, it's the taco trucks.
Taco. Now, the reason this is so outrageous, Bill, is not just the fact that the Latinos are leaving him in droves, how he made a big fool of himself down in Mexico. But the fact that this thing about, if you're not careful, you're going to have a taco truck on every corner.
Taco trucks on every corner, Andy.
Everybody has picked up on that.
You know what I like about him is that you were talking about quotes. This guy started his statement by quoting a Star Trek movie.
Yes.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Great. You're quoting Leonard Nimoy on MSNBC.
Anyway, so Mr. Guterres, here's to you.
You're a fucking idiot.
And I'm sure that is going to stick with Donald for the whole rest of the campaign.
As long as the checks don't bounce, I guarantee you he'll be staying with Donald. Now, ladies and gentlemen, can I go with mine?
I can't wait.
Do you mind? Ladies and gentlemen, I have found the biggest tinfoil hat I have ever heard in 4 years of doing this show.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the crazy. This is the Goldfinger of crazy. This is first of all.
Really? I
it's
can't
Alex
wait.
Jones, right? Alex Jones.
This is it.
Okay. Oh no, no, we know Alex is crazy, but remember, Alex Jones is someone who Trump has been interviewed by Alex Jones on his show, and he calls Alex
oh,
Jones.
Oh yes, your friend Alex
a
Jones.
Very
yeah.
interesting journalist. This is Donald Trump calls Alex Jones and has been interviewed on his show. So, ladies and gentlemen, Trumpy likes this guy. All right,
what?
That's fine. That's fine, but I got to tell you something. If you're a Republican and you want in on this crowd that I'm going to introduce you to now, I really don't know
what
to say to you.
That'd be the kiss of death for most
broadcasters. This is the most extraordinary piece of work. It's from TYT. TYT did this. Cenk showed it the other night, and I had to cut the bit. So, Cenk Uygur, full credit to the TYT folks. This is Alex Jones in the most crystalline, beautiful piece of shit I have ever heard on conservative talk radio. Here it is for your enjoyment. Behold.
So all I'm saying is I'm trying to save humanity. I'm trying to have a future for my kids. The globalists are building a world, in their own words, where normal human life is over. It's a total revolution against the planet itself. It's an elite playing God. And I've done my research, and even 10 years ago, I wasn't like this. I talk about it, I get chills, folks. It's the devil, okay? And the churches aren't going to tell you. It is an alien force, not of this world, attacking humanity like the Bible and every other ancient text says. And you can read the Bible. It's hiding in plain view, folks. It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing. I refuse to fight with everybody. All the stupid racist white people, the stupid racist black people, all the stupid racist Mexicans, all of you. I can't stand you. You're idiots. We're under attack. Everybody's under attack. The elite hate Trump. Let me tell you, if he is a psyop, he's the most sophisticated one I ever saw. And even if he is, he's a revelation of the awakening. And they're having to pull this trick to try to divert us. Doesn't matter. It's part of the awakening. Humanity has got to get off world. We need access to the life extension technologies. Talk about discrimination. Forget skin color. I want the advanced life extension. I want to go to space. I want to see interdimensional travel. I want what God promised us. And I won't sit here and watch Satan steal it. That's the fight. That's the key. That's everything.
Bill, that's not. That's just. I want interdimensional travel.
We
I
are
want
not
life
worthy.
Extension. I want
Alex
these.
Alex Jones, you complete me. Alex, you complete me.
He's been reading too much science fiction or something. That's. But now you know why he's such good friends with Pastor Usebuy.
I want my life extensions.
Yeah. I want gene therapy.
It's not human intelligence.
It's from outer space. It's Satan from outer space.
Oh, man, this is just beautiful.
That is actually, we must put that on the website.
Oh, my God. Brandy, I have tears flowing down my eyes.
We must put that with the video on the website. Oh, I've got to see it. I've got to see it.
This is amazing. Yeah, TYT has it. It's on YouTube, guys. I just played the audio clip. This is the most strange, incredible piece of this. This is it. Oh, my fucking God. You just
no,
you're,
no matter Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Becker.
No, they're pikers.
No, that's what I was going to say. They can't stand up to this guy. They can't hold a candle to him.
Ladies and gentlemen, and I am announcing a contest right now. First of all, the tinfoil hat, I'm going to do a new intro. Same music, but from now on, the tinfoil hat will be called the Jonesy.
Maybe we should give the Alex Jones Award. The Alex Jones
the
Award.
The Alex Jones Jonesy Award for the absolute rap shit craziest motherfucker out there. Ladies and gentlemen,
that was pretty bad.
That was it. That's the best I've. That's the worst piece of absolute lunacy I have listened to in 4 years. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm actually doing this right now. And Randy, you don't know about this, but I've decided something.
What's that?
I am starting a contest.
And oh, okay.
It's being financed by me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have an MP3 clip of someone who's really batshit crazy and can't be
and
like...
No, Michelle Bachmann's. We've had enough.
Nah, we've done Michelle.
Batshit Bachmann, it's in the air.
And it can't be off of some, you know... it has to be some kind of reputable media, right-wing media, like Mox or anything like that. But if you can find me crazy batshit, send it to me on an MP3.
Or just send us the link. We can convert it.
Send us the link of your batshit crazy on YouTube. We'll listen to it. Yeah. And we will nominate each week for the next 5 weeks a Jonesy. All right? And after the 5 weeks, we'll have five contestants and one contestant. Everyone will receive something.
Okay.
You will all get something in the mail from the Bill Show in Australia.
Can I enter?
If we use... No, we don't get paid for this. We're bored. But listen, if you submit something that we use on the show, and in the next 5 weeks we have people submit the links, we'll select the best one and we'll use it on the show. We'll announce your first name or last name.
Is this a brain fart? Is this a brain fart? You're serious?
No, it is. It's serious. I'm absolutely serious. Yeah, send your emails to BillsOnXPR. That's BillsOnXPR, all lowercase, at gmail.com. BillsOnXPR, all one word, lowercase, at gmail.com. Send your YouTube links there. We'll check them out, and we will notify you by return email if your clip is selected to go on our tinfoil hats. How does that sound?
I can't wait.
And the winner, I will make a trophy because of the next five weeks. I'm going to go out. Really, I'm investing at least $50. I am going to go out and I'm going to buy a Jonesy, and you will get your Jonesy in the mail, and that sounds a bit dirty.
Oh my goodness!
What do you think, Randy? Let's have some
fun. Pastor Matty's a big black penis.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Big black penis.
No, that's not the Jonesy. Trust me. No. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's about it, I guess, for us. Is it time for us to go, Randy? Yes, he's just whistling. Shut up, Bill.
I like whistling.
Yeah, I know you do. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you can reach us on iTunes, on Stitcher Radio, and on Podbean. We'll see you again in the next week or so for 157. We'll see you later, guys. Remember,
bye.
Happy trails
to you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.